Started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Well, hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio, and I'm Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
We are analog living in a digital world. It's a program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, tech news you can use. At least we hope you can use it. And, of course, we're brought to you each and every week by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers, our community. Tim and Cody do us very, very good. Do us what? Is that proper English?
No,
do us
but
good?
That's okay.
I think it sounds.
They service well.
They service us well. Well, that sounds stiff and stilted. Cody and Tim are certainly not stiff and stilted. They're stand-up guys.
Definitely. Yep. Honest work. And unlike a lot of shops where they want to charge you for what the book says a job should take 2 hours, and if they get it done in an hour and 15 minutes, they still charge you for the 2.5 hours. They don't do that. They charge you, honestly, for the time that they actually work on your rig. So, and it stays fixed. Haven't really had many problems.
Right. They're not just our sponsors, but they are people with whom we have a long-standing business relationship. And when you move into a new community, which is something we are looking at in the not-too-distant future, you find yourself a vet, a doctor, a dentist,
yep.
A mechanic.
Yep. Well, kind
a
of
CPA,
necessities of life there. You know, practitioners of things that...
Yeah. Experts.
Experts that, you know, I couldn't do all that stuff. It's too complicated.
Yeah. So we always like to look for the experts. And it's not just, you know, you can't really trust Yelp and all that because a lot of people now will either try to poison their competitors or they will try to push forward their own. They have their buddies, you know, write reviews and stuff like that. So use those as guidelines, but do your own due diligence and trust your instincts.
Yep. So
this program, we surf around and look for stories that are of interest and report on them. And since we do not have a vast staff of reporters and people in the field gathering news and phoning up the newsmakers and all that. Now, it's us, and both of us work. Brenda works more than I do. But so we rely mostly on stuff that people send us, plus ideas that we come up with on our own. And I have talked before about Google Plus. Google Plus was a service that wanted to be all the things that Facebook was without the negative stuff. That was the whole idea behind Google+. But Google has a history of these grandiose plans and then no real guidance when they launch the product. You get a bunch of engineers who, yeah, we can do that, we can do that, and they design a platform, and then it's not fine-tuned. It's just thrown out into the wilderness to live or die. And Google Plus has sort of stumbled along without any real direction. I used Google Plus because there were a couple of groups that I followed that were on Google Plus, a popular science fiction TV show that's now off the air, certain tech trends, things like that, and you could follow these without all the junk that Facebook likes to shove down your throat. Well, As of Monday, Google announced they would be shutting down Google+. Discovered a security vulnerability.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
That exposed the private data of up to 500,000 users. Google didn't tell anyone about the security issue when it was found back in March. They say it didn't appear anyone had actually gained access to user information. And the company's Privacy and Data Protection Office said, well, we don't really have to report it. The decision to stay quiet has raised a lot of eyebrows in the cybersecurity community because it comes against a background of rules in California and Europe that say, gosh, if you've been caught with your britches down, you tell everybody about it so they can, you know, protect themselves. Several hundred applications made by other companies may have had access to the vulnerability called through links called APIs, application coding interfaces. The outside developers could have seen usernames, email addresses, occupation, gender, and age. Supposedly, they didn't have access to phone numbers, your personal messages, posts, or anything, or data from many other Google accounts. Google says they found no evidence that outside developers were even aware of the security flaw, so therefore it was no big deal. But they did decide that maybe they didn't want to talk about it because they didn't want to see Sundar Pichai hauled up in front of Congress and asked to explain in the wake of what happened with Facebook.
They didn't want scrutiny.
They did not want this to be scrutinized. This is going to lead to an unfortunate circumstances where people are going to demand that the government do something.
Well,
and the government, when it does something, usually does it to an extent. It renders a service or product completely inert with all kinds of government oversight.
Yes.
Do we really want Chinese-style government oversight on our social media?
No, of course not.
Because the government that happens to be there will be controlling the oversight.
On the other hand, Google should not get by with these kind of shenanigans either.
Matter of fact, right now, because of privacy violations, Twitter, is it Twitter or, yeah, I think it's Twitter, is about to get whacked by the European Union for privacy violations. So we'll see what happens.
They have some pretty strict regulations in Europe about the privacy. So.
The European Union has issued their first round of hefty fines against companies that have been mishandling personal information. So this is interesting. You know, you're talking about one of the world's most valuable companies. And what is their product? Their product is consumer trust.
Yeah, there is a lot of that, all right.
You are their product because they take all your
data.
Your marketing data.
Yeah, they make money off of the stuff you willingly provide them.
Shove ads at you. But if consumers have lost trust, as they have in Facebook, people are leaving Facebook in droves, now they don't have the users and they won't have the income. A lot of people are starting to say, you know, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, all of them, they're a bunch of dang pirates, data pirates.
Yep.
So you're going to see heavy regulation. What's that mean? It means you're not going to get free stuff anymore, boys and girls. You're going to have to go back to paying for these services. But the genie's out of the bottle when it comes to private companies. Harvesting your data. If you buy a Samsung mobile device, you get a bunch of applications that nobody wants. You get Bixby. You get all these Samsung apps that you can't get rid of. You can hide them off of your main screen.
Yeah, but you know what are they actually doing? It comes up all the time. Go to my Samsung account and all this kind of stuff. As if you had to.
Yeah, and if you have a Samsung phone that you got from Verizon, now you got a bunch of Verizon crap on there where they want you to use their app for this and that. They want you to use their maps, their searches, their this or that, harvesting more of your data. This is why a significant number of people is that they don't have dumb phones, because they can't operate the smartphone. It's because they don't want to mess with it. Make your choice, but understand what you're subjecting yourself to.
Yep.
Speaking of Samsung, I will say that I love my Note 8. Now, I'm in no hurry to go out and get a Note 9 because, from what I can tell, the Note 9 is no great leap ahead of a Note 8.
I haven't figured out how to use everything on my Note
8
yet.
Yeah, there you go.
After, so why would after I go buy a Note 9? Besides that, the Note 8 isn't paid for yet.
Yeah, yeah. There's that. Samsung does say that the next generation of phone, you're going to be able to fold it up. In other words, when you take it out, it's going to have a and it won't have a hinge. The display will actually be strong and flexible enough for you to fold it up into a more compact package when you're sticking it in your pocket or purse. But when you want that larger screen experience as in a tablet, you just open it like a book.
Amazing. So let's see, Westworld had that? No, who had that first? On
there
was a television show. Westworld had something like that.
Westworld had a folding tablet phone communications device. You see it in science fiction movies all the time.
Yeah.
Trouble is, of course, the displays. And one thing I don't get that science fiction always has to make it look futuristic, the see-through screen.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
How practical is that? Because you're going to be distracted by all the crap going on in the background,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's sort of like a desktop that changes, and how do you have enough contrast to be able to see it and stuff like that? They had that in The Expanse.
Yes.
On their phones that look more like a chip, a gigantic
chip.
Yeah,
they were very thin.
Yeah.
It was like a thick piece of plastic, and you could more or less see through it, which is supposed to be futuristic. But that's probably, and very disposable. You would identify and log into the network, but it didn't matter whose phone it was. You could still be traced, but you wouldn't be. I'm seeing a future when you don't really buy the phone. You sign up for the service, and you get whatever the current device is. You may have a range of devices to choose from, but it's not your device.
Yeah, that's it.
It's kind of like what they've done with software.
Yeah, yeah, subscription type device. So you just, it's sort of like, what do they call those, rideshare cars?
Yeah, exactly. And I see that as a major change.
What do they call that?
Rideshare, well.
It's not rideshare, but it's the cars where you pay into the system.
Right, a subscription service.
Yeah, subscription service. Somebody else actually owns the vehicle. You have a membership in the service.
I see that happening to the automotive industry. Private ownership of cars where a lot of them just, what do? It sits in your garage X number of hours a day. You take it to work. It sits in a parking lot.
Yep.
X number of hours per day.
Right.
Eating up space as, you know, real estate becomes more and more precious to us. Look what's happened to the average parking space down in San Francisco. As the numbers start making sense, you're going to see people. You're going to see people actually leasing, not even leasing. That you buy a membership into a car, just as you now get your software. From Adobe or even my Office 365. You don't buy the disk, stick it in your computer. You sign up for the service. They download it. And this is essentially what's going to happen with automobiles. And I think phones, you're going to get a blank phone. You download all your stuff into it. In fact, right now, if you buy a new Galaxy tablet, you just sign on to your Google account. And lo and behold, all your applications and your information, all that, load back into your new device, so you have a seamless experience. And that, I believe, is what's going to happen with everything from our devices to our cars to any number of things, where instead of actually owning the thing, you are simply paying for a membership. So we'll see how that turns out. Anyway. The new Samsung phone, the CEO of Samsung is saying you'll be able to use it as a tablet with multitasking capability, then fold it up, stick it in your pocket. He says that's DJ Ko, he is the CEO of Samsung's mobile business, says if the user experience is not up to a standard, they don't want to deliver those kinds of products. Now, it may be fairly pricey. Now, we're already talking about spending $1,000 or more for your Samsung phone. And people are saying, you know, when a phone is starting to cost as much as, say, a used car, now it's time to look, like I said, at this membership thing. Well, gee, somebody might steal it. The whole thing is, so what if they take it? It can be traced. As these things are built in such a way that you can't really take them apart, if somebody steals it, you simply turn it off. It becomes useless. Maybe you could turn in if you it's like a motel key. You know, you find it and say, please drop in the nearest mailbox, and they mail it back. But without the user account, it's a paperweight. So I think that's what's going to happen with our mobile devices, with our rolling devices. But I'll be interested in seeing the foldable Samsung phone. No pictures, nothing like that. They did tease one back in 2013 by showing off at the CES, by showing off a flexible OLED display. But the device could be launched this year and debut as early as the next month at the Samsung Developer Conference. We will see, though. It's going to be an interesting take on how we use our mobile devices, because more and more, I personally am, on some days, I'm going around with a backpack. I've got my phone. I've got my little tablet that I use mostly as a reader. I've got my big tablet, which is what I'm using right now. And if I want to do some heavy lifting, I'm using my MacBook Pro. So here's all these devices and all their associated power cords and supplies and packs and warts and this and that. Is going to be nice to be able to do most of the stuff with a relatively small device. But still, it was predicted that the tablet was going to do away with the PC, that the personal computer was going to be obsolete. Well, that hasn't happened yet. Reason is the operator interface for a tablet is not, by any stretch of the imagination, perfect. So we're going to see PCs moving into more niche markets. But I don't think they're going to be going away completely anytime soon. Well, some individuals are getting emails from, quote, hackers claiming they recorded you watching porn using the built-in camera in your computer to record you watching porn. And if you don't pay up, they're going to send the film to your loved ones. The sextortion scam, first spotted in the Netherlands, reported that scammers had already made 40,000 euros from the ploy. That's a lot of guilt. A security researcher in the Netherlands found a sextortion scam targeting people in English. Victims of the scam receive an email from what appears to be their own email address, with the subject line also stating their email address plus 48 hours to pay. In the English language version of the email scam, senders allege they are part of an international hacker group and tell the targets they have 48 hours upon reading the message to send them $800 in Bitcoin, or they will automatically send all the users' messages and videos to contacts in their device. Quote, "We are aware of your little and big secrets." Yeah, you do have them, the scammers wrote in the English version of the email. "We saw and recorded your doings on porn websites. Your tastes are so weird, you know." Well, just the syntax of the message tells me, of course, obviously, this is not a English as a first language thing.
Right. And we actually got one of these at work in our work email, and it was all about porn and some rather crude language in there. And it's like, yeah, right, we were laughing our pants off. It was pretty funny.
Because any government agency has their network so locked down that if a employee, you know, we heard stories about, you know, people in the Pentagon and certain agencies years ago looking at porn sites. But right now, those things are so heavily filtered that the perpetrator would be getting pretty much yanked out of his or her chair within hours, if not minutes.
Many, many years ago, I had a coworker that he had a laptop for his job, and he was caught, if you will, saving raunchy things on his computer. He got a nice little 2-week unpaid vacation for that one.
Yeah. So the IT guys, and it's a little, when you are on a company computer, of course, that's not yours. That's the company's. And anything you do on the, and this has been tested in the courts. It's been attempted to, well, that's my privacy. No, it's not. You're on company time on a company computer on a company account. That is, you have no expectation. The courts have already come through with this. You have no expectation of privacy under those circumstances.
Yep.
And rightly so, because if you were doing something really nefarious on the company computer, company could be held liable, especially in this day and age.
Yep. Well, and it's against policy. I mean,
yeah,
it's just,
plus, you're not
that,
working.
Well, yeah, if you're doing this on your own time, use your own device. You know, if you just really absolutely have to do that sort of thing, make sure that that's the case.
Speaking of security breaches, Facebook says the breach they announced late last month didn't really hit as many people as they initially thought. Hackers did get, however, personal data from 29 million users. Facebook reported Friday that the accounts were compromised in the September breach. A software vulnerability gave hackers access to what's called a digital token, and they logged into millions of accounts. Originally, Facebook thought 50 million accounts were compromised. Oh, but it's only 30 million. That's the good news.
What's a million here or there, right?
Indeed. The bad news, of course, is that these hackers did indeed get personal user data from 29 or 30 million accounts.
Jeez.
They collected phone numbers, emails, a lot of other information, including not limited to gender, locale, language, relationship status, religion, hometown, and so much more.
I shake my head.
I can hear people signing out of everything, right?
Well, you know, at a certain point, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, if you think maybe your computer was hacked in the breach, there's an article here in Tech Code. When you're logged into Facebook, go to facebook.com/help/security-notice. And there's a section on, is my Facebook account impacted by the security issue? And you will see a yes or no answer to whether your account was one of those 30 million that were exposed to the hack. If yes, you'll be in one of three categories. You might be in the 15 million whose e-name and or phone number was accessed. Maybe you had all your personal information, which includes places you have worked, places you've checked into, tags, or maybe other people who've tagged you. In other words, a lot of stuff. Or you might be in the very small minority who your access token was taken, but they never actually bothered getting into it. So if you were, in fact, hacked, you don't necessarily have to change your Facebook password or credit card data, although it is a good idea to do that on a fairly frequent basis anyway, if you're going to continue using Facebook. Also, be on the alert for phishing attempts that may email you or get you to sign into one of your accounts using a fake page. If you get a suspicious email that looks like it's from Facebook or anybody, don't log into it. Close your browser and log in directly so the normal manner. Never, ever log in to a link provided to you in an email.
Nope.
Never, never, never.
That's just a bad idea.
We're going to be back with more Boomer Tech Radio after these messages. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
An Oregon street preacher was cited for violating a sound ordinance while preaching outside a Portland soccer game recently. Police cited him for broadcasting his message about the gospel via megaphone that could be heard from more than 100 feet away, a violation of Oregon law. Well, Pacific Justice Institute came to this preacher's defense and drafted a legal brief requesting that the charges be dismissed on constitutional grounds. Well, the DA dropped the charges. Score one for religious liberty, because street preachers have a right to preach the gospel in public forums, and that includes public sidewalks.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
ACNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves, with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460, with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. And hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. Welcome back for Hour 2. I'm Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and the tech news you can use. Brought to you this hour and every hour by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. 530-244-4423. Well, we started off last hour picking on Google. We might as well start off this hour picking on Google. Poor Google. Yeah, how many billions of dollars do they have?
Yeah. But, that
and do they give Google a, do they give a rat's do they give a rodent's rectum what this show says? No.
They don't even know we exist.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff Bezos or Google Sandar. Yeah, he doesn't know anything about this show. If you do, write me and make my day. Google, of course, the great search engine in their own mind. They do great on handheld screens. They've got the Chromebook. They got a dandy update to the Chromebook that I'm going to talk about later in the show. But they have announced a new Chromecast. The Chromecast is just getting beat to death by Amazon and Roku. And the original Chromecast cost you about $35, and it looked like an oversized flash drive.
We have one.
Yeah. But it's not very capable. It's slow. And you had to interface to it with your phone. It didn't have a remote. The Fire Stick had its own remote, which was nice because you didn't tie up your smartphone trying to fiddle around with the Chromecast. So we quickly replaced the Chromecast with the Fire Stick, and now we have the Fire Cube. But and of course, we've had a chance to use a Roku at somebody's house, and it's a cool device. And if that's the direction you're taking, it's just that we were already sort of invested in that Amazon ecosystem with our Fire tablets, and we had the Fire Stick, and now we've got the Fire Cube, and of course we've got the Echo speaker. So we sort of stuck in that ecosystem, and works. It plays nicely with our Samsung TV,
mm-hmm.
which can actually do stuff on its own. It can do a lot of streaming on its own, but it's slow. Our Samsung TV is about two generations back, so it's not a real fat. It's not a real smart TV. It's a semi-intelligent TV.
It's not a super smart TV.
Yeah. So Google is going about TV. Their interface is terrible, and most people, as it says here in this article that showed up in Fox News, people don't want to tie up their phone to control their TV. now, Google thought it was radically redoing TV because all the young people watch YouTube on their phones. And youth are mobile first, so TV should be treated as an expansion of the phone. And if you want to search stuff, it's kind of a pain in the butt to type in searches on a remote.
It is, but and then the thing about it is, though, that if you're streaming something on your phone, it ties it up and you can't use it for other things like
yeah.
texting and whatnot.
So not having an on-screen menu is the big fail for the Google dongle
mm-hmm.
because you have to do everything on your phone. Amazon and Roku both have voice control, flexible apps, on-screen menus, and a traditional remote, all under $50.
Yep.
So why would you pay that same $50
exactly
for a Chromecast that you have to use your phone for?
And more difficult. Not as reliable, I guess, is maybe the word.
Android TV is getting onto high-end phones, but Samsung's own operating system is independent of Google. So, but people, TV is still the the idea of watching a feature film, even on my 12-inch iPad.
Yeah.
I might do it if I'm on the treadmill or otherwise occupied, if I was on a plane or otherwise able to...
Traveling,
maybe. Yeah, traveling or something. Yeah. I might watch a movie on that 12-inch screen.
But for the most part, you're not going to.
For the most part, I want that big. I want that 60, 70. I want the wall.
So all these different formats that are out there, do you think this is a case of like Beta versus VHS, Blu-ray versus... DVD, and in terms of one common thing that's going to be used?
I think it's user experience because, look at the Apple TV. Apple TV is a typical Apple product, extremely overpriced, oversimplified to improve your user experience to the point of frustration, and it only has a small slice of the market.
A slice of Apple.
Yes, a small slice of Apple. For half the money, I think that our Fire Cube, which works with our TV, works fine with our soundbar, was about half the price of an Apple TV. I think the Fire Cube, we got it on the initial sale for about $159, and it works like a champ.
Thing I want to point out here, too, and I just asked that question kind of rhetorically, because this isn't a technology in terms of a format like a USB or a VHS or a DVD or, whatever. It's not a technology format. It's an interface with existing technology. So it's an interface with the Internet, or it's an interface with these things. And so it's basically programming. So there doesn't have to be an industry standard that everyone buys into that, somebody can capitalize on from that, from a technology point of view, and everybody else has to buy a license to it. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So it is all about user experience and how the interface is.
Yeah. So the new Chromecast, the original Chromecast, like I said, was like an oversized USB key plugged into the HDMI port on the back of your set, or maybe the side of your set. But you can only cram so much into that form factor.
Right.
So the new Google is actually more like a dongle. It's got a flat ribbon cable and then a hockey puck, and then it plugs in.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks kind of dumb. The Fire Cube is a cube. It's like 3 inches on a side, sits on a shelf, and you put a little IR blaster where it can hit your TV and your soundbar and control them, and that's real easy to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use just a standard HDMI cable to connect the cube up to the back of your set, and you're good to go. And the interface is so much easier. And
super
that's
simple.
The thing.
Well, that's why I said it's a customer experience in this case.
Exactly.
Ease of use, utility, reliability, that sort of thing. Reliability meaning... consistency.
Yeah.
That it consistently performs a certain way.
And as a bonus, we've got a couple of the Belkin or the Wemo home plugs that control lamps, and we can simply tell the same device that turns on the TV to turn on the living room lamp and run a timer. So it gets
pretty interesting. They work, and it's funny when you tell the G lady to turn on the living room lights or whatever, it happens, and then it is said, okay, I did that, or okay, I can do that, but it's like already done.
Yeah,
it's,
several seconds earlier.
And it's obvious that if there's quite a bit of network traffic, that things slow down. Eventually you get around to it, you go, well, did you even hear me or understand the concept? I had fun the other day with the G lady and said, okay, G, play, classical music for 20 minutes. And I just gave it a time because I wanted to see what would happen. And it parsed all of that out.
The Google Home
Pandora
is actually doing a good
channel thing. Play music, and it quit after 20 minutes.
So that's kind of handy.
Yep.
So the artificial intelligence, and let's call it what it really is, machine learning, is getting better all the time. Stuff that couldn't happen, it was a milestone 4 years ago, and we were told this at the CES, that the level of understanding for voice interfaces was approximately that of person-to-person communications because we don't listen or
misinterpretation
or environment or whatever, but that the level of understanding is approximately equal to that of a person, certainly better than some people. This is kind of interesting. The successful demonstration of remote controlled drone bees by Netherlands Delft University of Technology has been making the news. The buzz surrounding the drone's applications could be overhyped, you think? According to independent estimates by biologists, many popular news websites reported that the university's drone bees could successfully replace real bees and pollinations in the event that the real bees go extinct. First of all, it isn't economically feasible to mass produce these things. Second of all, you're not really understanding how exactly pollination works.
Yeah, exactly. That would imply that we understand how bees work completely, and then you would have to, technologize that. Can I say that?
Yeah.
You would have to turn it into technology, reliable technology that's efficient as well.
Yeah, and the robotic insect can fly for 6 minutes and then have to go home to recharge.
Oh, yeah, that's not
And then
not
you're going to have to maintain
that's
it.
That's not very practical, yeah.
No, it is. So,
although, you know, this
we
is
may
early
get
in the
there,
game.
But we're not there
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. We may get there, and it could happen, but we'll see how that goes.
Last week, we gave a fair amount of airtime to the Bloomberg report that spying chips had been inserted into server farms, including Amazon Web Services, Apple, and other companies, and it caused quite a bit of consternation. The National Security Agency says, we haven't seen this. The FBI says they haven't seen it. So the weight of evidence and whether this is, and people are going to say, oh, well, this is the spin. This is the government spinning the story so people don't panic and the markets don't collapse. NSA Senior Advisor for Cybersecurity, Rob Joyce, says, I have an understanding of what we're worried about and what we're working on. I don't see it. All sorts of commercial industry freaking out and just losing their minds. Nobody has found anything. There's no collaborating evidence now that these super tiny microchips were inserted on the motherboards for these servers. Bloomberg, though, usually doesn't just make stuff up. So what I'm thinking is that maybe somebody was thinking of doing this, and it kind of blew up.
Uh-huh.
Still, it's possible. Was Apple and Amazon lying when they said that their systems hadn't been compromised? The researcher says, no, the companies would suffer a world of hurt if regulators later determined that they lied. Well, what just happened with Google?
Right.
They lied. They held back the information.
Well, I think they held back info and lied. There's one thing about just not saying anything, and then there's another about saying, oh, no, everything's fine, and it's not.
The FBI Director Christopher Wray testified to Senate's Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee about these claims that the Chinese had inserted secret microchips into our servers. He explained the FBI's very own policies prevented from either confirming. We can neither confirm nor deny the claim, but he did hint that there's actually no investigation taking place at this time. He did say the type of attack claimed by Bloomberg was a serious risk, but they don't see that the super micro servers have actually been compromised. So it may not be played out yet.
Yeah.
Maybe we've given somebody a great idea. Now, China, of course, is absolutely saying that they're not doing this, that they would not risk their position in the world community of losing consumer confidence, because there's already a lot of question. What with the Lenovo computers, and there is no denying that Chinese agencies are out to get, you know, conduct industrial espionage. We do it to everybody else.
Of course. Of course we do. Speaking of China and social media, what was the movie? I've been racking my brain for 2 days to remember this. The movie where you had to get X number of likes, or it was a little short.
Well, we saw this on a couple of. There was a segment of Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, that's what it was. Where
you had a social rating.
You had a social rating. That is no joke in China.
Mm-hmm.
They have started doing that. And a lot of this is the government monitoring your activities. And you get these scores. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, science fiction story comes to fruition.
Well, the show, Orville,
yeah,
did a very similar show.
Yes, they did.
Where everybody had a social media score,
yeah.
And if you did something gauche, if you did something awkward,
whatever.
You got downs, and if you got enough downs, you were taken out.
Yeah, that's crazy. But anyway, yeah, that's what it was. It was that Black Mirror episode, but apparently that is that concept is actually being employed in parts of China, and apparently the people that are doing it, there's a certain amount of volunteer aspect to it, but it is a way for the government to monitor your activities, and then and the whole thing in the Black Mirror deal was that if you got on, people got online to check you out, like dating, some of the digital dating
right.
Things, you can check people out, and if they have, you know, too many black marks type of thing, or it's the same thing with companies don't like hiring people that don't have social media sites.
There are sites that that women can, if they're about to date a guy, they can actually check and see if any other women have posted about this guy. Now, this raises some privacy concerns.
Absolutely, it does.
Maybe a disgruntled ex-girlfriend has an extra grind, so she puts up that this individual is a complete and total creep. How do you rid your... It's like ending up on a no-fly list for no particular reason.
Right.
So maybe we're going to have no-date lists
right.
that are that outside of the government.
That was the thing about the Black Mirror episode, is that people were able to...
You would be ostracized.
Ostracized by people who didn't even know you were at the situation. You got all these down points.
You couldn't rent a house and let... You
right.
couldn't buy into a community.
Right.
You couldn't get a credit card.
You couldn't get a job without a certain rating. And so talk about extreme social engineering. Wow. Mm. Pretty amazing. And anybody could enter down points
yeah.
about you. So if you were grumpy at the coffee shop or something like
yeah,
that,
the, yeah.
they'd give you down points. It's just crazy. You're having a bad day, whatever the deal is, you know. You just look at somebody and they don't like the way you look at them. You may not even really be looking at them, but they don't like it, so they give you down points. It's interesting, but that kind of social scoring is apparently occurring in China. I was listening to this story, and I can't remember what it was in reference to, but it wasn't a science fiction story or anything like that. This was a news report about how social media and that sort of thing is being monitored at that level by the Chinese government. Crazy stuff.
We're up to Intel... Ninth generation core chips, the i9 core processors. And really, there's nothing earth-shattering. Remember when every generation of processor was a huge leap ahead? Like, we the 286, and it gave way to the 386, to the 486, and then the Pentium. The 386 wasn't around very long. And then we had the Pentium 2, the 3, the 4, and then we quit numbering them. And we went to core series generations, and you can get different power. If you get a really cheap, cheesy laptop, you've got like a Core i3. Here's that i again.
Mm-hmm.
most mid-range laptops have an i5. You have a high-end laptop. You have an i7. It has to do with the amount of processing power on the chip. Now we're up to an i9. And for most people, you don't necessarily need to go into an i9. There's nothing really earth-shaking about the particular i9 processors. Now, what's happened over the many, many years is that we have managed to pack more and more transistors into the same amount of real estate on a chip. But, of course, more transistors means more heat and more power consumption.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is probably, we're starting to see the wall ahead of what's called Moore's Law.
Right.
In that processing power is not going to double every 3 years. It's taking hard. They're having to do more and more. You know, the multi-thread processors and multi-core processors were allowing our computers to do more and more. But actually, are we hitting a point where now we've got to look at different ways
mm-hmm.
of doing this? And of course,
quantum computing.
Quantum computing is one of the things, and we'll be stepping away from pure binary.
And also different ways of storing data, I guess, too. So you can access more faster type of things. But in this case, this is processing power. This is brain power.
So Intel, of course, very worried that they are running out of steam on their flagship processors, the Core series.
Mm-hmm.
What comes after this?
A good question.
Yeah.
Intel may have to look out. They might be following a rabbit trail that has a succinct end to it.
Yeah.
IBM, you know, isn't the powerhouse that it used to be. Maybe Intel isn't going to be the powerhouse that it used to be. There'll be something new and different that somebody else develops that comes along. Probably can almost guarantee that, actually.
Mm-hmm. This week, President Trump signed into law the Music Modernization Act, the MMA. Sounds like a
mixed martial arts. Yeah. No, it's not that.
It's the most sweeping reform to copyright law in decades. The bill is heralded by labels, musicians, and politicians. Uh-oh. Passed through both the House and Senate before going to the president. The bill revives the U.S. Copyright Act and brings copyright up to speed for the streaming era. The Music Modernization Act streamlines music licensing to make it easier for rights holders to get paid when their music is streamed. A recognition that artists deserve to be compensated for their music whenever they produced it, whether it was recent or prior to 1972.
Yep.
And then the allocation for producers, which improves royalty payments for the producers and engineers when their recordings are used. So this is going to improve the tracking. You might see, actually, your Pandora service or whatever streaming service actually go up a couple of bucks because there has been an awful lot of, say, your Amazon Unlimited, there has been an awful lot of accusations from the performers that these companies are profiting from their work, and the performers, the artists, the composers, weren't getting paid in it properly. This radio station, when we use a piece of music, we have a blanket license agreement. In fact, the little theme music here, I don't pay for this music, but I made an arrangement with the composer so I was not pirating the music because I would be open to liability.
It is used with permission.
And we will be right back with one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio right after this. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? No, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
For President Trump, Greg Clugston, Washington.
Some 260,000 plus electric customers still without power in Florida after Hurricane Michael pounded the panhandle this week. So far, the storm's death toll is at least 14. Officials expect that number to rise as the extent of the catastrophe becomes clearer. Meanwhile, in Virginia, Dominion Energy says it has more than 6,000 of its personnel working to get power back up for about 160,000 of their customers. At least one arrest is made at a march by a right-wing political group turned violent in London.
Hundreds of supporters of the Democratic Football Lads Alliance were walking in central London when a few started pushing the British police monitoring the march. One person threatened a policeman and screamed, "I'll kill you." Police were deployed at Trafalgar Square to keep the football lads from a group of counter-demonstrators, including some who shouted, "Nazi scum, off our streets."
Correspondent Zara Shackley reporting the group's website says the demonstration was meant to protest Islamic extremists returning to England from Syria, migrants coming into the country, and what it calls the mistreatment of UK veterans. Both the American and National League games today. The Brewers and the Dodgers will play their second game. Brewers won last night. More at townhall.com.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
In news overseas, Turkey is pushing for access inside the Saudi consulate amid reports that a missing Saudi writer may have been killed there. Correspondent Ben Thomas has more with this report.
Turkey's foreign minister is again calling on Saudi Arabia to allow Turkish investigators to enter the kingdom's consulate in Istanbul in an effort to unravel the mystery surrounding Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance. Saudi Arabia had promised to open its consulate for a search, but 11 days after the Washington Post columnist and government critic vanished, that is yet to happen. The foreign minister's demand follows a newspaper report that Turkish officials have an audio recording of Khashoggi's alleged killing. Saudi Arabia's interior minister has dismissed reports that Khashoggi was killed by Saudi assassins as lies. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A pop-up museum dedicated to all things pizza opens in Brooklyn, New York today.
This is a pizza lover's dream come true. There's paintings, sculptures, and even a guitar dedicated to the slice, all from famous artists. There's pizza boxes from all over the world, and there's lots more, says creative director Alexandra Sirio.
The Museum of Pizza is really a celebration of arts and education.
The last exhibit here at the Pizza Museum was what else? A pizza parlor, where visitors got a slice of Williamsburg pizza. Julie Walker, New York.
Bill Cosby switching up his legal team as he looks to appeal his conviction and 3 to 10 year sentence in his Pennsylvania sex assault case. The 81-year-old convicted sex offender is replacing the suburban Philadelphia lawyer who handled the sentencing with a pair of criminal defense attorneys. At least one attorney suing for unpaid bills. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. And welcome back. This is Boomer Tech Radio, and I'm still Bob Belongi.
And I'm still Brenda Belongi.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, tech news you could use. And, of course, always brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road here in Reading. 530-244-4423. Welcome back. All kinds of neat stuff. Now, of course, we talked about the big. If you are just now joining the program live, you want to go back to the archives on KCNR1460.com. Listen to the previous hour. Really big story about a massive hardware intrusion that is still being investigated. It could be affecting some of the major servers for Amazon and Apple. They say there's no problems, but we'll see.
Well, as a result of that, and actually we're pre-recorded this week. You said live, so.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. Is it live or is it memorized?
Well, if you are just joining the show on the radio.
There we go.
You can go back and listen to the archives, of course.
True enough,
you can
but
do always.
Don't call us because we're not in the studio
we're not,
this
we're
week.
We're actually here.
Right. So the
even when we're here, we're not here.
As a matter of fact, an article brought in by BBC News that's posted on the Boomer Tech Flipboard page, Lenovo and ZTE. I'm not familiar with ZTE, but anyway, they're both Chinese companies. Their shares have taken a huge hit, apparently. Lenovo's shares fell more than 15%, and ZTE lost more than 10%. Because of this alleged, that according to the Bloomberg article that we referenced in the beginning of the last hour, said that the microchips were found on gadgets used by the U.S. government agencies and Lenovo insists, though, that it doesn't source parts from Supermicro, the firm that was at the center of those allegations of the hardware kerfuffle.
Now, Lenovo has been caught.
Yes.
With software that was a very questionable veracity on their systems. This is why the U.S. government will not allow its agencies, any of them,
right,
to purchase Lenovo computers and laptops, in spite of the fact that they are quite well made and they are based on that traditional IBM ThinkPad platform.
We had them at one time, but all of a sudden we had to get rid of them.
Yeah. So why do you think that is? of course, there have also been questions about phones from ZTE, where it is possible that because they're very popular in China, naturally, and there were lots of questions about was the government using these ZTE phones to track their own people? Most likely. Supermicro says this is all untrue. Apple and Amazon says they haven't been compromised. I'm thinking there's a story here. I don't think the Bloomberg guys just made this stuff up.
I seriously doubt it. And Bloomberg is not a organization,
yeah,
publication, or whatever.
One of these,
you know,
fly-by-night, no, internet-only outfits.
No.
They have, this is a major business.
National Enquirer type stuff.
Yeah, this is a major business source that their credibility is their stock and trade. So,
right.
If I would think that they would have checked this story because the implications are just so drastic.
That's well, they're global.
This is not what I would call careless reporting.
No, and it's and the implications of this are global. It's not just, yeah, the United States. There are many other entities that could be affected by this as well.
So what are your choices? Do you just absolutely never get another piece of technology? No, that's not going to work. But just be aware of what's going on.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the ramifications of this. Let's put it that way. Many times on Boomer Tech Radio, we've talked about simple things you can do. You know, we talk about change your passwords. If you're a fairly new listener to Boomer Tech Radio, we can't emphasize enough. You know, it's interesting. Let's just say that this story about how do you keep your Wi-Fi network secure.
Now, back in the old days, around 2000, 2005, you could actually go into apartment buildings and see one or two Wi-Fi signals, and they'd be wide open. Oh, boy, I can log on to this one.
Wasn't too many years ago that we pulled in the parking lot of a motel ourselves to use an open Wi-Fi. But that's a double-edged sword. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch in that case. Today, people can be hacking into that. They can get into your device if you're on that. So you have to be careful with that. But the thing about it is, say, well, what does it matter whether I have my Wi-Fi secured or not? And the big thing is that you don't want somebody tapping into your computer doing illicit things, either selling things illegally, looking up porn. Is a really good one. You can get slapped for that, and they will trace where it's coming from.
Right.
And even if you're not the one that actually did it, it looks like you did it. How would you ever prove otherwise?
There have been individuals whose houses have been raided when somebody pulls up on the street, says, aha, an unlocked router, tap into it, and then they these people who work via the dark web, running some everything from child porn to illegal drugs and everything else.
We'll take advantage of your connection.
Unsecured Wi-Fi systems, and guess who gets the knock on the door if you're lucky?
Well, the thing about it is you go, oh, who thinks like that? Well,
the bad guys
there are people who do. You say, well, that will never happen to me. Well, it's happened to somebody. And it's not that you have to be paranoid. It's just that you need to be smart and prudent. These devices are potentially intrusive, and not only that, if you have a wide-open network and you don't have things secured, they can get into your computers and get private information and things like that that they should not have and do not need to have. So you definitely need to do that. So how do you go about that? If you've bought a brand-new router, it'll have information in the package, you know, how to change the password. That's the big thing. Make sure it's tied down with a password.
Change your access password. Don't let it be the default.
Right.
If you type in password, I'll come over there and thump you on the end of the nose.
We've talked about secure passwords have punctuation marks in them. Not all of them are allowed, but many of them are. Change E's to 3's and things like that that you can kind of recognize. Use a phrase or use the first letter of a phrase that's meaningful only to you and that you would understand.
The first line of the song that the first song that you dance to, something that means something only to you.
Right.
And then using a combination of letter,
number, and
punctuation, character substitution.
Right.
Unusual spacing, maybe you capitalize all the vowels, or maybe you capitalize all the consonants.
Right.
You substitute a 1 for a, or substitute an O for a 0, that's for, or a 0 for an O. That, these are all very common things. Make it fairly easy, though, and it isn't foolproof, but it's going to be very hard to brute force hack.
Well, if you make it complicated enough, they'll go looking for some other place that's a little more easy, like an open Wi-Fi that doesn't have a password. The password is password, or the password is 123456.
You don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun the guy next to you.
Yeah, that's right. It's that kind of thing. Make yours sufficiently inhospitable, and they will go elsewhere to look
exactly.
for things. So, you know, just make yours a little more inhospitable than
Be
the neighbors.
Be a harder target.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty simple. But what if you have an older router and you go, oh, my gosh, I didn't do that, or I don't know if I did that, or I want to change it because – you know, maybe the boyfriend's moved out or the girlfriend's moved out or the kids are getting too clever or what have you. You can just Google the model, make a model of it, and it should say how to do that mm-hmm. in there. Now, not that your kids can't figure out how to do this too, but you can't just change the password wantonly. I believe you have to have a password to get in there and change the password that works. It's just like your smartphone. They can't just change a password. You have to have the old one to get to the new one.
Now, here's an interesting thing in the article. If you, say, have a service of Charter, Comcast, AT&T, your password's probably right there in bold letters on a sticker mm-hmm. on the side of the router.
Yep.
So if you entertain people, you have guests over a lot, maybe you don't want your system password, especially if your kids have their friends over.
Yep.
You're going to want to do a little maintenance there. Change the default password, even if it's something really funky, and rotate that password, you know, once a month or something. Get into some security habits. If you're in the habit of leaving the house, automatically locking the door, get in the habit of about once a month. So set a timer on your phone, you know, a reminder on your phone. Change your passwords.
Right, or just the first of the month, you have a list of things you do, and that's one of them. There's also ways to create zones for the kids or guests or what have you that only give them, you know, gives them access through the Wi-Fi, but not to everything in the house and everything else that's connected. So that's another security feature that you can have. You can also check up on who's on there.
Yes, you can get a table of all the devices that are currently talking to your router. It's called attached devices, and it varies from router to router. But if you go through and say, okay, there's my thermostat, there's my iPad,
right.
there's my Kindle, wait a minute, what's that?
Right, exactly.
And maybe it's a very weak signal.
Yeah.
The neighbor tapping into your system?
Exactly.
Maybe they're looking over your shoulder every you know, and intercepting your packets. It's a very scary world out there, but you can protect yourself with some real basic functions.
The idea of the table should be familiar to you. If you have a smartphone that you use as a hotspot, when you turn the hotspot on, it'll detect other devices in the neighborhood, and the ones that are supposed to be connected, allowed to be connected to your hotspot, will show up on your listing with your hotspot on your smartphone or your smart device. Because some tablets can be, you know, connections, too.
Now, by default, your router broadcasts its identifier. It says, here I am, connect to me, here I am. Even if it's locked down, if you've got a default password, and here's your router going, here I am, well, you can turn that off so that the router is still sending out a signal, but it is not identifying itself constantly. So your friend's or nemesis's tablet or laptop will not see that as a valid network because it's not an identified network. It's just another signal.
That's a good way to do it, too.
There are some apps. There's an app called Fing, F-I-N-G, acrylic Wi-Fi for Windows, or Who is on my Wi-Fi for the Mac OS. These are apps that are free for non-commercial use. They let you look and see who is bouncing around and on and off your network. So maybe you have noticed all of a sudden your Netflix has gone to like, we have noticed that a time or two. And what we've discovered is recently we have had to reboot our router a couple of times in the past few weeks.
Seems
because
to get balled up.
It, we've got enough things.
The use of it, yeah.
We've got a couple of smart speakers. We've got our thermostat. We got about four tablets in the house. You know, and it's just all of these things are competing for your router's attention. So if you don't have a super great connection to begin with, things can get balled up very rapidly. We were kind of indulging in our one of our current binge watches, and it just kept stuttering out. So after a reset, now you want to reset your router, don't just push the little button. We've talked about this before. Pop the power supply out. Usually it's just a little plug on the back with a little thin two-conductor wire attached to it that goes to the wall plug. Pull that plug out. Now, if you were getting your phone service through your internet provider, that means you're also going to take out your phone service. So bear that in mind before you start this process. Pull the plug, router goes dark, and you go do something for 10 minutes. And I can speak from experience, 10 minutes is forever when you can't look at your phone or look at your tablet or any of that stuff that you're used to doing.
That's true. When you're in a pause and you're just, you know, kind of waiting for something to happen, you might pick up your phone
and catch email.
Can't do that. It's pretty interesting. Have a magazine nearby.
Yeah.
You know, something. Go feed the cat, take the dog for a walk, something like that.
Your Kindle doesn't necessarily need to be connected in real time because
that's
it's
true.
Got the stuff loaded in.
Correct.
The whole idea is you got to wait about 10 minutes.
It takes a while.
That's sort of a magic number because all the memories in the router are going to go to sleep, and it's going to lose all those numbers. When you plug it back in, it now has to rebuild these address tables. One at a time. And that's why it takes about 8 to 10 minutes for your system to come back up. So you've got about a 20-minute interval before your computer, your house system comes back to normal.
Another thing, too, if you go on vacation or something like that,
right, pull
just
the plug.
Turn it off. Disconnect it from the phone line, your supplier, you know, internet service provider. Just actually unplug it. You know, you can power it down and just take the cable feed out of it, if you will, the data feed, disconnect the wire, the network wire, and
there's another
done.
Reason for that, too. We had a thunderstorm over town the other day.
Oh, yes.
If you get a lightning strike on the lines that feed your house, those lines are going to carry that surge right into your equipment and possibly right into your computer. And so if you're home, you can say, uh-oh, it's starting to get a little noisy out there. I'll just shut everything down to protect my network, protect my house. But if you're not home, of course, you can't do that. So.
Right.
Plus, you're kind of reducing the amount of air pollution in terms of radio frequency. Here's a really interesting article from VentureBeat. Now, one of the things that Brenda and I discovered that we have in common early on at the time we met, that both of our fathers were suffering from Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's is, of course, a neurodegenerative disorder. It affects your movement. It impacts more than 10 million people worldwide, 60,000 diagnosed every year. Now, if you can detect it early before the severe symptoms hit, you can more effectively treat it. If you
right.
wait until things have gone way down the road.
Right.
And it's very difficult to treat.
Unfortunately, traditional diagnostic techniques for Parkinson's usually means the person is well into it before it's diagnosed. In the case of my dad, the doctor said, well, I think this is what you have. Go home, get worse, and come back, and then I'll know for sure.
Yeah.
And by that time, you know, you've got well-established symptoms and so on and so forth. But what's interesting here is that an AI is showing some promise via a smartphone of being able to diagnose the disease. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, now, there were studies done by Johns Hopkins and the University of London used to monitor changes in Parkinson's symptoms, but what they discovered is that a person can be just walking, and this is another area of health tech that we've been talking about. Now, we've heard about the Apple Watch that can detect odd rhythms that are indicative maybe of a problem developing, and that's actually been okayed by the FDA.
Yeah, cardiac in that case, I believe.
Yeah, cardiac. On the same token, certain ways of moving and hesitations that are too subtle for the human eye to detect can be picked up
right.
by the sensors in a smartphone, because your smartphone has extremely sensitive motion detectors, little tiny solid-state gyros that are very sensitive to acceleration and changes in, and you know, very subtle changes in motion. because of the way that there are tremors that appear in your voice that may not be obvious
to the
listener.
Right.
But the phone can analyze the pattern and say, there is a problem here. Certain muscles aren't working.
Right. And also the come and go nature sometimes, or the timing of these things. Someone might be fairly functional in the morning, but by the time they get to the afternoon, they get tired or what have you, and the symptoms will be exacerbated and they will show up. So, you know, when you go see the doctor, you go see the doctor for what, 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms may not be present at that time, but if these smartphone tests that they have, even something as simple as carrying it around in their pocket, can detect these things and figure out a pattern to them as well. A tool to analyze them and see what's going on.
This is not, of course, a perfect model. It is another tool. But then again, as we have said, Parkinson's is nearly impossible to diagnose because there is
no
clinical test for it. It
right.
is evidence-based
right.
rather than
Which is
clinical-based.
Why most Parkinsonians are well into Parkinson's before they get diagnosed, because it takes a long time for very obvious symptoms to show up. And this has some, this is quite experimental. It's not a 100% test, but it shows a lot of promise, and more research will be done in that arena. And it's so interesting how technology, again, can detect these patterns and see these things that we as humans cannot see. Of course, we're better at some things than machines are, and these things are better at some things than we are.
Mm-hmm. The Australian National University has announced the invention of here's more science fiction, part organic semiconductor. The team of engineers is touting the development as paving the way for bendable devices such as mobile phones you can just fold up and stick in your pocket, maybe roll into a cylinder. The tiny flexible semiconductor is both organic and inorganic materials and can convert electricity into light very efficiently. The organic component is just the thickness of an atom made from carbon and hydrogen. This is pretty cool. This is where we're going to see these super thin displays.
Resistance is futile.
This could lead to more implantable electronics that don't have the
bulk
irritation
and
yep. rejection yep. capabilities.
Yep, that's very true, too. Yep.
Maybe you want to have, instead of tattoos, before long you'll have these things just under the skin and they will, glow. And you want to change your tattoo? Just reprogram it and it'll display something else.
Take your Raspberry Pi and reprogram your electronic tat.
Or your personal phone says, okay, he's drunk, and it says, take me to such and such a
address. Sharpies do pretty well for that, too. Just write it on their skin. We've seen that done
a couple of years ago up at Shasta Lake. Individuals would have their houseboat number written on their arm with a Sharpie. So when they had too much, and of course the obvious solution is don't have too much, right?
But
some individuals will, of course, have too much, whether or not they're going to become future Supreme Court justices. And this was a way to make sure that these individuals got back to their particular boat. The right or wrong of it, that's sort of beyond the discussion of this program, as are a great many things. But interesting concepts here that we are seeing. Things that only existed in science fiction here with us every single day. And that's part of the reason for this program to exist in the first place.
We are Borg.
Locutus. That was quite the makeup job they did, by the way. But we are getting closer and closer. Are we sacrificing our humanity on the technology on the altar of technology? I don't know. I think there's always going to be a lot of us in us, but you want to read the books of, like I said, William Gibson. Mm. If you have never read William Gibson, it's a difficult read. The books are hard, but you see stuff that was written half a century ago that is now coming to fruition, and people said, oh, no, it will never happen that way. Science fiction gets it wrong a lot of times, but they also get it right a lot of times in a very prescient manner. I'm going to look a little bit into the future, and what do we got coming up in our final segment of Boomer Tech Radio? Let's see here. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about rogue satellites, MoviePass, playing Pokemon Go in national parks, the Internet Bill of Rights, all kinds of pretty groovy stuff coming up still on Boomer Tech Radio. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
Get ready to laugh, because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
An Oregon street preacher was cited for violating a sound ordinance while preaching outside a Portland soccer game recently. Police cited him for broadcasting his message about the gospel via megaphone that could be heard from more than 100 feet away, a violation of Oregon law. Well, Pacific Justice Institute came to this preacher's defense and drafted a legal brief requesting that the charges be dismissed on constitutional grounds. Well, the DA dropped the charges. Score one for religious liberty, because street preachers have a right to preach the gospel in public forums, and that includes public sidewalks.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Attention Marines and other military veterans and civilians as well. The Shasta Marines cordially invite you to the annual celebration of the Marine Corps birthday. This year, the celebration will take place on Saturday, November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. In keeping with tradition, we conduct a formal ceremony complete with a color guard, a pipe band, and the annual birthday message from the Commandant of the Marine Corps. In addition, we will have a guest speaker in the form of a retired Marine Colonel who led a battalion in Iraq, served as an instructor at West Point, and assisted the federal government in intercepting illicit drug traffic. Tickets for the event are $35. For more information and to receive a formal invitation, contact Mike Gutierrez at 524-7595. We're sure you'll enjoy the celebration as it honors our illustrious Corps. That phone number again is 524-7595. Semper Fi, Marines.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, and in 2000 I opened the House of Conscious Living Yoga. We offer a variety of styles attending to the needs of all students. Our faculty consists of yoga therapists and health professionals. Conscious Living Yoga meets each student right where they are, and safety is always a priority. We offer weekly classes, class series, and workshops in addition to private sessions. Visit consciouslivingyoga.com for the online schedule, costs, and other interesting information.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneville. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. And we're back. One more segment now for Boomer Tech Radio. Bob and Brenda, by the way, we want to thank you for listening to this program. We're here every week with goodies and gadgets and gizmos and tech news you can use, all kinds of good stuff. Hey, interesting story from the AP. About 60% of the population with European heritage may be identifiable from their DNA by searching consumer websites, even if you have never made your own genetic information available, according to a study. That number will grow as more and more people upload their DNA profiles to websites that use genetic analysis to find relatives. Or so if you go to 23andMe or, and you know.
What's the other one? 23andMe and Ancestry. I thought Ancestry.com was more of looking people up. I can't think of the other one. It's escaping my brain right now.
It was a big headline in April when authorities announced they'd used a genetic genealogy website to connect crime scene DNA to a man they then accused of being the so-called Golden Gate Killer. So this guy was brought to justice by the process of his information was up on one of these services. So you're getting because there are so many connections, so many relationships, your DNA might not be up there, but your cousin who is close enough to link to you may be on there. Sleuths can use other information like published family trees, records, and lists of survivors and obituaries, plus whatever know about the person to begin the process. They can build their own speculative family trees. Eventually, that can point to someone whose DNA is then found to match the original sample.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You can run, but you can't hide. Your genes cannot hide.
Each person in a DNA database acts as a beacon that illuminates hundreds of distant relatives, according to the chief operating officer of the MyHeritage website. Now, Americans of European descent are overrepresented in the DNA databases, which makes it easier to find relatives. So that is, like I said, we're in this Gattaca thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So it's really interesting about this, though, is that what's the potential for boo-boos? Mm-hmm. That, you know, the rabbit trail isn't quite accurate, but one would think that they could very quickly identify.
It may point. And here's the thing. When you have given your DNA profile to a company to search for relatives or to check and see if you have a specific genetic marker, that's about as personal information as you could possibly get.
Yeah, that's, whatever. So it would be fun to do something like that, but I've often wondered what do they do with that information, because you're essentially handing out, you know, genetic information, that what are they doing with that? You know, because there's a lot more there that they could do possibly in the future with the sample or whatever. I don't think they keep it or what have you, but yeah, it would be kind of fun. On the other hand, it's kind of nice knowing what sort of mysterious, not knowing exactly what sort of mysterious mutt I am, and leaving it all to family stories and things like that.
Yeah. There is a active legal debate about whether police should be able to go fishing using DNA genealogy websites without a warrant.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Wow. Talk about technology and capability.
The law is so far behind us right now.
Being way ahead of the law, yep. Interesting idea. Wow. You know, how long before we're all required to do this, though, at birth? You know what I mean?
Gattaca.
Yeah.
It's a 1997 movie with Ethan Hawke, and I forget who the one of my favorite actresses is in it. But it involves your whole life is determined by a DNA sample taken at birth. And I've mentioned this a couple of times.
Yeah.
The movie's a little bit of a slow pace, and it's kind of a mystery thriller. But it points to a future when your entire life is predetermined by your genetics. In the case of this movie, the protagonist was doomed to a life of sweeping floors because his genetic profile indicated a tendency to heart disease.
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman, yeah. So it's a really fascinating film.
Concept, yeah. Yeah. And it is. It's all of these ideas. Ethan Hawke, Jude Law, Uma Thurman, Gore Vidal.
Yeah.
Lauren Dean and, I want to say, Xander Berkeley.
Yeah. Was it 97?
It was, I got to figure that out. It was. Good yeah. memory.
Yeah. It just really struck me. And the more I read these stories about DNA testing.
Right.
What's interesting is that in the movie, FBI agents are called Hoovers.
That's right.
Because they use little vacuum cleaners to suck up hair DNA and skin evidence. Samples and things like that.
Yeah.
Of course, J. Edgar Hoover.
Yes. That's an
interesting play on. Yeah, interesting play on.
Yeah, double entendre.
So the movie doesn't have a lot. You know, it doesn't have a lot of ray guns flashing. I think, in fact, they save on special effects at the end of the movie. The protagonist is launched to a distant space colony, but they don't really show a rocket. They just show a light going up into the sky. And, yeah, but it gives the idea that you know, this guy has gamed through the system. By borrowing the genetic identity of another individual. And most of the movie revolves around the things he has to go through to try to maintain the masquerade.
Because the illusion.
He borrows the genetic identity of an individual who is genetically perfect, but who has suffered an irreparable injury.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes blood and other samples and stores them, and then that's what he gives at these various checks that he has to go through in his career.
Yep. How long before we have unique fingerprints? How much more of a biometric tag, if you will, would we have than our DNA?
Mm-hmm.
And so that gets stuffed into a database somewhere for life.
Exactly. Scientists are starting to really push the limits of 3D printing. Now, 3D printing has been producing all sorts of things, from car parts to rocket engines, entire houses.
Yep. They've been using cement, cement houses with gigantic 3D printers using cement.
Scientists at MIT say they have now found a way to 3D print objects that can change shape almost instantaneously when exposed to a magnetic field. The researchers have created a few demonstration objects, which uses tiny iron particles. The objects include a plastic sheet that folds and unfolds, a star-shaped object that can catch a ball, and a six-pointed structure that crunches up and crawls like a spider. These are applications that include soft robots, which may have medical applications. done on a very small scale where you could theoretically swallow this thing. It mm-hmm. unfolds, mm-hmm. and in response to magnetic manipulation, mm-hmm. is able to go to a spot and, let's say, deliver chemotherapy right. to a tumor that otherwise is absolutely inaccessible.
Yep.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty interesting.
This technology can be used in minimally invasive surgery, according to a professor of engineering at MIT. You could have things like a self-steering catheter inside a blood vessel using magnetic fields. You could take pictures, clear blockage, and other techniques just by manipulating the field around the thing. And when it's all done, you tell it to fall apart.
So these kind of things in the medical field make perfect sense. But what if they make something bigger? What happens when the next EMP comes along?
Well,
electromagnetic pulse. Good. Anything that's magnetic, operates on magnetic things, could get seriously messed up. Mm-hmm. I'm being somewhat sarcastic, but that is a possibility. Our mm-hmm. son could deliver us one of those one of these days. Mm-hmm. And it may have in the past, but we didn't have technology as we know it today. So that would be an interesting event if that were to happen. But, yeah, the possibilities of this stuff. Who figures this stuff out?
I don't know.
It's fascinating. This is why there's endless stories for Boomatech Radio, because there's always so many interesting things going on, things that weren't even imagined when I was mm-hmm. at university. It's just a crazy, crazy time.
Now, we've picked on Google a couple of times. Let's give Google some kudos. Well, that's a hard line to say.
Google kudos?
Yeah, that is.
It's kind of a...
Google and the National Parent Teacher Association say they're joining forces to help educate parents and kids about online safety. The search giant will give out all-in-one kits that include a Google Pixel book and presentations covering a variety of topics, including online safety, such as phishing, scams, privacy and security, cyberbullying, and inappropriate content. They also include decorative reminders of best practices like banners and posters in both English and Spanish. The kits come as part of Google and National PTA's new program that will provide grants to PTAs across the country. So educating children early about the hazards involved in the online space.
Yep.
Of course, this is in Google's own interest because every time there's one of these massive incidents, they take a hit because they didn't safeguard the kids.
I would say that they also need to develop these for older folks.
Yes.
Who did not grow up with technology.
Nobody in Nigeria wants to send you $1 million,
exactly.
Okay?
Exactly, yeah. Definitely the way it is. You know, but every time you educate somebody about some of these things, the thieves come up with some other clever thing, right?
Oh, they do.
Such as mentioning last hour that your porn activities will be revealed. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Don't believe that stuff.
Yeah, never sign in, as I say, never sign in on a link in your email.
You know, to be a parent these days, this is tough because technology is everywhere and kids have access to this stuff even when you're not looking. So, for instance, when they're at school or a friend's house or something like that, you know, how do you protect your kid? And there's a lot of things that are like that, right? But technology can be very misleading to a kid. Kids don't have the discretion that adults do, although I have to admit I've met some adults that maybe don't have a discretion either, but, you know, aren't we all silly at some point in our lives? So mm-hmm. I can't say much about that. But the point is that, you know, grandparents even, who did not grow up with technology, have to become educated about this as well when the grandkids are visiting, or if the family dynamic is such that grandparents are raising the grandchildren, they have to learn all this stuff. So mm-hmm. it's good for everybody to learn these things.
Garmin Company is a manufacturer of their big claim to fame is GPSs. They
yep.
also manufacture boating electronics.
Yep.
We have a Garmin radar
navigation
on our boat
yep,
and a
radar.
Garmin navigation
yep.
System on our boat.
Help you find your way
around
the world.
And a depth finder and all that sort of stuff.
And avoid big things.
They have just introduced the Garmin Instinct. It is a ruggedized smartwatch. That's one thing, you know, the Apple Watch. Pretty delicate looking. It's this big piece of glass sitting on your wrist that just sort of... I'd destroy the thing in a few months.
Yeah, not for the outdoors.
Right. The Instinct has a three-axis compass, barometric altimeter, and global navigation system that will covers GPS, GLONASS, which is the Russian system, and Galileo, which is the European
system,
navigation system. This watch can track a user's location even in more remote environments. It uses Garmin's TrackBack feature, which sets digital breadcrumbs as you travel and can navigate you back to your starting point. So you can hike into an area. Okay, the sun goes down. How do you get back out? Because you can't find any of... And we've used this on our boat. Yep. Backtracking via breadcrumbs. We've been out on the lake. The sun goes down.
Things
but we
different.
Have on our screen... A perfect back, as long as you stick to the backtrack, you didn't run into anything going out, so you are highly unlikely to run into anything going back. All other circumstances being equal.
This thing's pretty amazing. It it doesn't say how big it is. We saw some prototypes of this.
It looks to be about the size of one of those big Casios.
Yeah, but we saw some prototype or things similar to this at the Consumer Electronics Show a couple of years ago. And really haven't seen, that was Casio's type stuff. But this is, they say it's built to, Garmin says it's built to military standards, so it's kind of thermal shock and water resistant. And it kind of has a tough case.
Has the heart rate sensors and other health markers right. like daily activity, calories burned, sleep, stress through so, your heart
rate
variability.
Fitbit kind of stuff. The battery life.
Now, this is the impressive part.
Yeah, it's battery life up to 14 days when in smartwatch mode, 16 hours in GPS mode, and up to 40 hours in the ultra-track mode, which, of course, this means it's busy and it's not...
it turns off the GPS to save battery power, so it checks in.
Yeah, it checks in. And
it'll connect to your smartphone.
Yeah, and it's priced at $300, which is... pretty competitive.
That's a whole lot less than an Apple Watch.
It's also compatible with other Garmin devices, like the company's VIRB or Verb cameras, I guess they're called.
Yeah, you can actually turn the camera on. It's so extremely sports people.
A little bit. That might be a bit awkward, but...
apparently, you have multiple function buttons. It has some pictures on the website.
Yeah, here. So I'm here to tell you, though, that a barometric altimeter is not as useful as you think. If it has GPS capability, use that for your altimeter or your elevation guessing, because that's just better.
If you do, however, now, I don't know how necessarily accurate these things are, but if you the barometric pressure, say you're out on your sailboat and the pressure suddenly starts to drop, this is something you're probably going to want to pay some attention to, no matter what the actual number is.
Yeah, the short-term things like that absolutely could be handy. So the thing about it is you could be sitting at the same altitude 2 days in a row, and the barometric pressure-based altimeter will not give you the same altitude.
Because of pressure varies over time.
Because of pressure variations, correct.
Home goods online retailer Wayfair has demonstrated how you become an interior designer using Magic Leap augmented reality glasses. The Boston company created an app called Wayfair Space, showing off earlier in Los Angeles. You can actually walk into your space, put the glasses on, and see what it would look like if you had... Now, we've talked about this. I bet IKEA starts renting things out.
Undoubtedly.
So you pick your space.
What your room would look like with those particular things in it. And some sort of CAD of this computer-aided design has been used like this for a long time, but this is much more, I guess, responsive is the word I want to use.
Yeah.
Much more immediate, easier to change... things up and see what they might look like in the room. And look out, interior designers. People may start doing stuff on their own that drive the classic interior designer nuts because they make strange choices.
Yeah. But one thing you can't really reproduce, though, is how a particular shade of blue is going to look in a particular room because the lighting's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they can actually get it to analyze the room.
Yeah, well, little itty-bitty paint chips in the store are difficult to judge what it's going to look like for a full room anyway. So
we have somebody who lives up the street from us who they apparently couldn't decide what color of door went best with their house. So we would drive by the house. It was like a kindergarten door. They had all these different colors. Each panel on the door was painted a different color. We're like, okay, well, that's festive.
Yeah.
But apparently they were deciding which color they wanted the door to be by putting them all on there and then going, okay, we'll go with the blue. What, I think they ultimately...
Yep, they ultimately chose a blue.
Ultimately
yeah,
went
kind
with
of a
the blue.
Cerulean blue.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was fun to watch how that evolved. The glasses to do this, if an interior decorator wants to buy the VR glasses or augmented reality.
Well, the Magic Leafs are about $3,000.
Yeah, yeah, they're close to $3,000. But, you know, if you're helping a client and all that stuff, it might be worth it in the long run. They would potentially pay back.
For some people, that's just nothing.
Well,
I'm not some of those people. But
it might be worth it.
Yeah. Well, considering what flooring costs these days, as we discovered.
Well, can cost.
Yeah, what flooring can cost. The numbers were substantially higher than we had anticipated. So we're going a different route with some flooring that we're looking at.
Well, yeah, but, it wasn't just, you weren't just paying the materials. It was the installation and all the little doodahs in the installation and so on and so forth.
But it was
we
still an eye-watering.
Still, it was an eye-watering number, yes. Jaw-dropping number.
Now, I often, out in public, pick on drivers of certain brands of vehicles, most notably BMWs. Tesla has the Fortune magazine article is headlined, "Who Needs German Engineering?" Tesla in the United States is now outselling the Mercedes-Benz.
Hmm.
And judging from the number of Teslas that I see on car carriers...
Yeah.
Heading all over the place, I can see that we were behind a car carrier on the freeway a few weeks ago, and there was about $500,000 worth of Tesla on that. If not more, it's probably $1 million worth of Tesla sitting on that thing.
Yeah, there were a healthy price tag of sitting on that vehicle, on that car carrier, yes.
The company sold almost 70,000 the Model 3, Model S, and Model X cars, Mercedes-Benz, sold 66,000, excluding commercial vans. And they may, in the final quarter of the year, pass up BMW. BMW in the past quarter sold about 72,000. The car maker has said that they are offering a full federal tax credit for an electric vehicle of $7,500 for vehicles you accept by the end of the year.
Yep.
And we're seeing superchargers appearing in more and more places, although you don't get the charging for free like you used to. But that $7,500, that's a fair number of charges, I expect.
Yep. Plus, it's probably just a cool car to drive anyway.
Yeah.
That might be part of it.
I have talked to some people who have been in a Tesla, and they said it's like launching a rocket when you step when you step on that gas.
Yep, it's also an American brand that might appeal to people. It's locally, it's available here in this country. You don't have to, you can't go in the middle of Farmville and get your Tesla serviced. I'm sure that's a problem with a lot of fancy cars like that. Well, I shouldn't say fancy. The technology types. But at any rate, unfortunately, poor Tesla does have some problems with production and delivery. But, you know, people are waiting. They're patient, I guess. Maybe they're not so patient. They don't have much choice. But Tesla will get it figured out. I think the demand for their products is probably more than they were expecting. And, you know, they're not a Ford or GM or whatever and have a lot of experience in dealing with that sort of thing. Delivery and production, so all the more power to them.
Yeah. Mr. Musk has been slapped with a fine, of course, and Tesla's stock value dropped a bit, but they're going to come right back. I'm pretty sure of it. Musk is Tony Stark, and he sometimes seems bound and determined to prove that. I didn't see which one that was there you were showing.
Hackers hiding cryptocurrency in Adobe Flash updates.
By the way, mining malware is showing up in Adobe Flash. Now, Adobe Flash is dying, but some sites will not let it go. So if you get a notice that you need to update your Flash player. Don't do it from the link. Go directly to Adobe.com and update your Flash player there. That is all the time we have for this week. Our theme music, composed and performed by George Wood, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, show is brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. As Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe, be good to each other. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard, because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable.